Beginning of Parshas Mikes, we have Paro's dreams, which is a continuation of the various dreams that we encountered in last week's Sedra. And I was waiting for an opportunity over the last few weeks to talk about the following Shaila that was asked to Rav Zilberstein in the aftermath of the tragedies of Simchas Torah, which was reported in those that write up Rav Zilberstein's Shailas. It appeared in his weekly collection of his Divrei Torah, appeared in the Hebrew Mishpacha. The Shaila was, someone apparently a reliable source brought the following to Rav Zilberstein's attention, that there was, and the way it was reported is he knew all the names of the principals, but it wasn't put out for publication, that there was a Baal Tshuva that was living in one of the Gaza border communities who grew up there, and after he became frum, his rabbi told him that he should stay in that community and be mashpia on his surroundings. So the night of Shmini Atzeres, he was woken up in the middle of the night from a dream that his Rebbe, who had since passed away, appeared to him in the dream and was shaking him and was saying, "You're in a dangerous place, you have to leave." So at first he didn't pay attention, he went back to sleep, and then it happened again. And his Rebbe woke him up in the dream and said, "You're in a dangerous place, you have to leave." So he was so shaken and was literally trembling from the dream. He got up and he put his wife and kids into a car and drove away in the middle of the night, Leil Shmini Atzeres. Then apparently, Esther Zilberstein, did he do the right thing? So I think we probably intuitively understand that he did the right thing, but let's try to flesh out what some of the issues are and then come back to what Zilberstein was reported to have remarked about this particular situation. So we do find two conflicting, if you will, or as we'll see, perhaps complementary orientations towards the halachic validity of dreams in Chazal. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and there's a parallel version of this with a slightly different nusach that appears in the Shiltos in Parshas Miketz. Haresha yamitzdar al ma'os sheniach lo aviv. A person was mitzdar, he was ill at ease about money that was supposedly left as Yerusha. Uba bal hachalom. So he knew that there were some funds in the estate. He didn't know details. So along came the Baal HaChalom, which we'll define in a moment, and said to him, this is the amount of the money in the estate. This is where you can find the cash. And they belong to Meiser Sheni. That was the story. The Amr and Chazal said, we don't give any credence to dreams. So don't pay attention to that representation. It doesn't help you. What is Baal HaChalom? Baal HaChalom, Sar Hamar Echalomus Balayla. The Malach, if you will, who's in charge of dreams, came to him, meaning he had a dream. The Smach, Hoshemishbat Simon Reishon and Hei, Sivkatan Kavches, Reishon and Hei, Sivkatan Kavches, quotes from the Torah there, that the Torah explained they're talking about the father himself appeared in the dream. It wasn't a random dream with a random representation, but the father who's deceased himself appeared in the dream and said, this is the money that he left, here it is. And nevertheless, the Gemara says, Divrei Chalomos Somalin Velo Moridin. Similar response in Gittin Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that's in the Apotropos Sugya. Hu Apotropos David B'Shavu Sei D'Rav Meir. So talking about the responsibilities of an Apotropos, a person who is designated to take care of the financial interests of orphans. So there's a certain avatrapas who was living in the neighborhood of her mayor. So he took the land that was part of the estate that went to the Yisomim, he sold it, and he bought servants with that land. And apparently that was economically advisable. Below Shafkir her mayor. And her mayor told him, you're not allowed to do that or don't do it. So Remeir was shown in a dream the following reaction: I'm trying to destroy the assets and you're coming to preserve the assets. Not right. Remeir didn't listen to what he heard in the dream. And he said, we don't care what it says in dreams. It didn't affect his response to the situation at hand. This is quoted Halacha, Choshe Mishpat Rishon Hei Seif Tes. On the first case, Let's say that you are aware in vague terms that there's some collateral that was left in the possession of your deceased father, and you don't know where it is. And you have a very detailed dream that says this is the pikadon, this is where it is, this is who it belongs to. And you actually look and it's there. So even if you have a dream that says that money that was left in the estate belongs to Ploni, you don't have to listen to the dream, and you keep the money for yourself. So these two gemaras seem to indicate that we don't give too much credence to dreams as influencing halacha. Nevertheless, we know the Gemara in Brachos Nizayin that tells us that a chalom is considered to be 1/60th of a nevuah. There's a Gemara in Chagiga Heimad Beis, Anochi Aster, Aster Panay Bayamahu, Amar Rava, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Afa Pishastarti Panay Mehem, even where there's Hester Panim, and I'm not presenting, I'm not appearing Lehedya, the Chalom Adabirba. Nevertheless, I will appear in a dream. So it sounds like there is some, at least some situations where Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachu, reveals himself or reveals information in the context of a dream. And this is most saliently reflected lahalacha in a Gemara in Adarim and Daf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us Amr of Yosef, Niduhu b'chalom, tzarech asar b'ni adam lahatirlo. That if a person is put into nidoy, into excommunication in a dream, meaning he has a dream, and in the dream he is excommunicated, formal nidoy, you need a minion to be matur that nidoy. And then the Gemara has the details of who constitutes that that minion. Then the Gemara has an episode where this happened, and the Gemara concludes with a modification that kishem she'yafshel lebar below teven, kach yafshel lechalom below dvar metalim, that every dream does have elements of dvar metalim, even if fundamentally the dream is dispositive. So this halacha that if a person is put into nidu in a dream, that requires a minyan, it requires a formal process to remove that nidui, says the Ran here on the Gemara, on the side of the page, Nidu b'chalom sarich asar b'nei adam, five lines from the bottom of the Ran. Lefi, she'efsher she'vashlichus ha'makom nisnada. We're concerned. If you are put into nidui in a dream, maybe that nidui is b'shlichus ha'vakadosh baruch hu. Lefi ka'sarich asar latirish ha'shchinei mahem. And then you need a minion that represents the shchina, or that houses the shchina, in order to remove this person from that state of nidui. And Tosus writes, Sarach Hasabin Adam Latirlo, Lefi Shechalom Havik Ein Nevuah. That's what we saw the Gemara Brachos Nun Zion, that there's a Chalom is the 60th of Nevuah. So because Chalom has a certain element of Nevuah, Yeshla Lidog Mina Peranus, you have to worry that something serious is going on. Lachain Sarach Latir Basara V'azu Mutter Basu Bezin Shinidu. Fine, because that Bezin of Asara constitutes or houses the Shekhinah, and therefore it has the ability to remove the nidoy. That's what the Taz, there's a quote in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Lamed Hey, and the Taz explains the same idea. Sifkat Yunidal, Yeshlach Hashem Min Shemaim Niduhu, and therefore you need a minion of Asara to be Matir. Because the machlokas we shown him does this din that a nidui b'chalom has to be taken seriously also apply to a neder that is taken b'chalom. If a person has a dream, and in the dream he accepts upon himself something b'taras neder, is that neder binding? So that's the machlokas we shown him. 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredei Reish Yutzif Beis, Hanoder b'chalom eino klom ve'eino sarach she'ela. So day number one is that you don't have to be concerned about a chalom whatsoever. Rush, v'yeshomrim, Sheyatiru lavasara. No, it's better lechachila to have 10 people be matir such a neder. Diadilim yekri. Yeshlachosh the devrayim. That's what the Shach says there. So katan hey hachi nahog that we're knowing lechumra that if a person has accepts upon himself a neder b'chalom, then that nether is binding. And if you want to annul the nether, then you have to go through a process of hataras nedarim. And the Shach quotes that's relevant to the halachas of a pharaoh also, that maybe if a woman takes a neder during a dream, that would be subject to the details of hafaras habal. So on the one hand, we have these episodes that we started with the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Gemara and Gittin, where Chazal say that divrei chalamos l'mamlam maridin. On the other hand, we have the example of a nidoy, maybe even a neder b'chalom, that is binding and of concern, possibly because of the nevuah element that may be contained in a dream. So how do you know when dreams concern us and when dreams don't concern us? Steichem et mareches hadalid. Os mem hei, quotes a Tashbetz, Cheli Beis, Simen Kuf Kaf Ches. Interesting Tashbetz. Tashbetz is addressing a, the shaila he's addressing was where someone was gozer, a Tanis Tzibor, on a certain community because of information that was conveyed in a dream, and there was some backlash about that. That's the context of the question that the Tashbetz is addressing. So the Tashbetz writes, just to frame the question, he says, that first you have to know the broad principles, and then you can deal with the details. Sometimes Chazal are worried about dreams. Sometimes ain't choshen. They have to figure out what are the reasons, what are the common denominators between the instances where we are choshesh and the instances where we are not choshesh. So the Tashbetz says that there are certain dreams that are originate with a malach, meaning to say that contain a certain level of truth where there's a message that's being conveyed through the dream. And there are other dreams that are ayidei shadim, which is the way he presents that dreams that we don't need to be concerned about. And the challenge is figuring out how do you know what dream is conveyed by a malach, and how do you know a dream is conveyed by a shade? So the bottom line, he says, there isn't really a good way of knowing. And therefore, that devolves through to general klali hapsak. What are general klali hapsak? That safek mamonos, we say, amosim mechaver lav haraya, and the safek ba'isurim are l'chumra. So the Tashbetz's bottom line is that when it comes to midi demamona, you're not choshish for the dream. So that's the context of the first two gemaras we spoke about, a Yerusha, Apotropis. If it's just a monetary matter, so we don't know how to evaluate the authenticity or the binding nature of the dream, and therefore, when it comes to mamonos, we don't give credence to the dream. But when it comes to an iser, where you have to be choshish l'chumra, so midi disur, you have to be choshish for the dream, not necessarily because you know for sure that the dream is binding, but we're at least choshish, we don't know, and therefore safek isura, you have to go, so to speak, l'chumra, and the dream would be relevant in defining our response to isura. This they come at just point, yeah.
What would happen if you had a different father?
Yeah.
Well, change the that the father. Right? You love the grain of the pebble.
Right.
If you choose not, then
Yeah, so the Seichem points out, he quotes Achronim who are Me'ora on the Tashbetz, a slightly different formulation, but the fact, let's say the example of Ma'aser Sheni. So that's the machlokas whether Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hedyon Mamon Gavoah. So if it's En Lalach, we assume it's Mamon Gavoah. So if it's Mamon Gavoah, so then it's not simply a matter of Mamon, it's just a matter of Yisurim. So that's one of the Ha'aros that he quotes as a Hasaga on the Tashbetz. Although then he quotes the following, he quotes from a Sefer Nechmad Lemareh that even if the Tashbetz is correct, it could be that the Gemara in Sanhedrin that's talking about Ma'aser Sheni, there we say, if it's just a matter of the Tashbetz's dichotomy of Isser and Mamon, maybe we should have been Machmir, even in that case of Ma'aser Sheni. But it's Meduyuk in Lashon Gemara, look back at the Lashon Gemara where we started. The Gemara says, Haresha haya mitzta'er al mos shenei chlo aviv. Why does he have to say that? He should have said, first his father died, he had a dream that here are the assets. So mitzta'er al mos shenei chlo aviv sounds like this was on the guy's mind. And we know if something's on your mind, so that could influence what your dreams are that night. So you shouldn't be mahar b'yom. So in that case, so then we're not, there we say, because there we're more comfortable saying that whatever you dreamt was because you had that on your mind during the day. But in a vacuum, if you have a dream out of nowhere, so then maybe you would have said, in that case, you'd have to be mafmir because they were talking about Meiser Sheni. Okay, so that's what the Steichemen quotes from a Sefer Nechmad Lemare. Rav Asher, in his piece of Minchas Asher Parshas Vayeshev, Simon Ayin Dalid in the new edition. So he quotes this pikpuk and other pikpukim that people have in the Tashbates. And he thinks that the correct chiluk lahalacha emerges from a comment of the Chidushei Haran there in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Ran is right, has a line that really, in general, we say Divrei Chalom is a Mamala Marida. But if that's the case, then why are we so concerned about a person who is menuda b'chalom? So the Ran distinguishes between a nidui and a neder. He assumes that a neder b'chalom isn't binding, doesn't require hatara. So nidui is unique. Nidui is something special, where if you have a dream about a nidui, so then, because of the nature of nidui, we assume that that's min hashamayim. But that's the exception, not the rule, meaning the starting point would be divrei chalom asamam v'lo maridin, and nidui is an exception. Now, that doesn't work as well if lahalacha, we do, at least l'chumra, accept the position or choshesh with the position that even a neder in a dream may be binding. But that's the distinction of the chidushei haran. And that nakuda, that even a neder may be binding, Piskei Tshuva there in Yeridaya Simon Reish Yud Sivkat and Beis quotes from the Tshuva Saradvaz, the echad shechalom lo shenishba lefroa chova b'yom ploni. So a person had a dream that in the dream he took a shvua that he was going to repay a loan on such and such a day. The heishiv the hacha filo rush mode, even the rush who says that in general a neder in a dream is not binding, here he would agree, kevin de priyas balchov mitzvah. So here you're dreaming about a mitzvah, not a glamorous mitzvah, but a mitzvah of priyas balchov. Imkain, nishamayim hiru lo lizruzi nafshela mitzvah. So if you're dreaming about a mitzvah, it must be because min hashamayim they're trying to mizarz you to do the mitzvah. The alkachach yifrachova ba'osa yom. O yishtadu shal malva yom alar reini ki luz kabalti. Meaning, that a neder to do a mitzvah may be of a different status, even if you'll say that in general a neder b'chalom is not binding, but a neder to do a mitzvah b'chalom may be binding because min hashamayim there be mizariz you to do that mitzvah. Deborah Siner has a couple of tshuvas about this. Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Samach Tes, and then Kuf Ayin. He was asked about someone who had a dream. In his dream, he was no there to buy an expensive mehudadik esrog. So is that dream binding? Does the guy have to spend a fortune to buy an expensive mehudadik esrog because of the dream that he had? And the Deborah Siner thinks very likely yes, because especially a neder lidvar mitzvah would be binding. He says it doesn't even have to be a Dvar Mitzvah, even a Midas Chasidus. He tries to prove that a neder, even to buy a Mehudra Dik Esrog, is not the Mitzvah to have an Esrog. No Mitzvah to have a Mehudra Dik Esrog. But that's maybe a Midas Chasidus. So even a neder for a Midas Chasidus may be binding. The Seichemed writes that among the principles of where you have to be choshesh for a dream, so you would have to be choshesh for a dream if there is a makom sakana, meaning any safek pikuach nefesh, you have to be choshesh for in general. So if there's information that's conveyed in a dream, and there are gemaras that that support this. If there's information that is conveyed in a dream that potentially has a pikuach nefesh component, then you have to be choshish. But then in that tashbeitz that we started with, in the end of the tashbeitz, he has a maisa from the Rivash that someone had a dream, and at the base of the dream there goes there Tanios, and then there was another dream that he should be Gozer Tanis because he saw that there'd be a big fire in the Rivash's home, and he wasn't Choshesh to the dream. And then he had Charata. It sounds like in the end there was a fire as predicted in the dream, and he had Charata that he wasn't Gozer Tanis to ward off the effect of the dream. But the Sechemet says that if there's information about Sakana Kaveina Jew, you have to be choshish for that. But he says not necessarily at the pain of violating an Isser Deraisa or even an Isser Derabana. So exactly the parameters of that in the Sdei Chemin is not so clear. But the Rimosha also writes in that Tshuva that he's not talking about Pikuach Nefesh, but in a vacuum, he says, even though we would be choshish for dreams in certain contexts, but if a dream comes to tell you to do something to violate a lacha, a dvar mitzvah, then you don't follow the dream. And then he has the following suggestion also to distinguish between the Gemaras that we saw, that the kind of dream that you have to be concerned about, that min hashamayim, they're telling you to be mizarzi for mitzvah or the like, the Torah's neder, that's something where the effect is going to be lahaba. So if you have a dream that you are going to take a neder lahaba, then litzarach mitzvah, then that may be binding. But if it's a neder on something a dream on something lamafreya that is telling you information about something that happened in the past, that's not really that's not pushing you to perform any mitzvah per se. So then maybe that dream is the kind of divrei chalamas l'man v'lamoridin that we started with. So what was represented or quoted from Rav Zilberstein as far as the Shaila at hand was, first he quoted a Shem HaGadolim, the Chidon Shem HaGadolim. The Chidon's work with many biographies of Gedolim Yerushalmim and early Achronim up to him, and of Svarim, which the Chidon wrote during the 40 days that he was in quarantine outside of Livorno, Italy, when he was stuck in a quarantine house for 40 days with nothing else to do. So the Chidah, I couldn't find this inside. He says it's in the Chidah's entry on the Ravan, but there is an Arichas about dreams, but I couldn't find this particular story. Maybe I didn't look hard enough. So he says that the Chidah there writes that there is a Maisa with the Almana of the Rush's father. The Rush's father passed. The Rush's father is Rabbeinu Yechiel. So the Rush's father passed away and his mother was still living. So he appeared once to the Almana and told her that she's in a dangerous situation. She has to get out. And she escaped and her life was saved. So that sounds like the same kind of a story. It was overseen says there, number one, there it says that the Rush's father appeared to his mother. It doesn't say that he appeared in a dream. So maybe that was more than a dream. And he says, it doesn't say that she was Michal Shabbos there. It says he told her to get away, but she might have just walked. It doesn't say that she got into a car. Okay. But then he says that if you look at the whole literature about dreams, you see this notion that there are certain dreams that seem to be reflective of a reality, and min hashamayim, that they're telling you something, doesn't correspond to anything you're thinking about in the daytime. It's very real. An actual personality comes there. It's telling you real information that ends up being true. So he says that all these things seem to fit into the pattern that this was a dream that you probably should have been concerned about. And I assume the question really was, or should have been framed, not did I do the right thing, but had I knocked on your door, Rabbi, that night and told you what happened, would you tell me to get into a car? And then would you also get into a car? Rav Zilberstein is quoted as saying that he thought they did the right thing. Safik pikuach nefesh remachran anyway. But then it says at the end of the piece that no one should be masik any halacha based on this. And if it ever happens to you, you should ask a shayla and not rely on what we said in the story. Okay. I'm sorry. Should he have told everyone else? Don't know. Meaning, all that was said in the dream is that you're in the Makom Sakana. Didn't necessarily say that anyone else was.